Good day and welcome back to the Microsoft Virtual Academy. Today we're going to be talking about how to manage a virtual workforce successfully. Now I know as a small business owner, you often are caught between having a full-time workforce that you cannot really afford and using virtual resources that you can afford for bits at a time. And how do you manage all of that? Today we're going to be working with Zuanda Reed. Zuanda, welcome.
Thank you.
Lovely to have you in studio. And jointly between Zuanda and I, we're going to be talking to you about this virtual workforce phenomenon that we're experiencing as small business owners ourselves. Zuanda, before we get into the nitty-gritties, introduce yourself.
So I'm a consultant with Think Group. I'm working very closely with Catherine. And I think sometimes we take this for granted that we have this virtual workforce and we just go with it and we don't always realize that people out there don't have the knowledge about it.
Yeah, I fully agree with you and taking it for granted is a very good way of saying it because we should cover that in the session today. If you know how to do it, you forget that other people still are learning how to.
Yes, or not even aware of it, that you can do it this way.
Exactly. So I'm Catherine Young. I'm from Think Room Consulting. By now you know me well. But really today we want to share with you, as Zuanda said, just more about what we've learned managing virtual workforces. So around Africa, for the African SMEs. So African SMEs, for you who are out there having to work with people across Africa or across the world, you often may come across, well, why should you work with people virtually? Are there any benefits, etc., etc.? And we're going to just go through a little bit of that in the discussion coming up. So one of the first thing about, I think, why do we have virtual workforce in our business?
So we're based in South Africa.
Yeah.
Obviously, we are trying to build ecosystems around Africa, and we don't always have the means of having an office on the ground in those countries.
Exactly.
So it makes sense to have a person or a virtual person there to actually assist us.
Yeah. And how do you feel? I mean, I agree with you, right? So we've got a number of virtual offices, although it's actually people working from rented office space or from homes, but they come across as professional. How do you feel about us managing that from a perspective of showing we have an extended footprint? How do you feel we look professional while doing it?
I think we do look very professional, but I also think it's the way that we onboard people. Mm-hmm. So there must be a very clear understanding of what you want that person to be, what the task will be in country. Mm-hmm. And that person needs to understand, I mean, some of these people we never physically have met.
Exactly.
I mean, we have that interaction with them via technology, Skype, whatever the case may be. But sometimes we don't even meet those people. Mm-hmm. So you have to have a very clear communication line with the people in country. Mm-hmm. You have to make sure that you have a very good understanding of what you want that person to do, firstly. And then obviously conveying that message so that the person in country understands that. And one of Think Room's core values are always to be professional to have very high quality. And those are one or two of the topics that we normally do during onboarding to make sure that person in country understands that.
Exactly, I agree with you. So very often SMEs, you will not have the money to have offices across the continent or across the world. And yet you may have work that requires you to have a presence there, albeit virtually or not. So you can't often afford to have these offices, have a virtual workforce, consider it. The other thing is you don't have to employ the virtual workers in the other geographies necessarily full time. I mean, we don't employ all of them full time. Some of them are on reduced portfolios, am I right?
Yes. We have reduced portfolios in some of the countries purely for the reason that our project scope is not that huge.
Yeah.
So we normally advertise that way and then recruit that way.
Yeah, exactly. So be encouraged. You decide, as Zuanda says, what number of hours you need that person to be in country, and then you employ that person on that basis. The other benefit that you could have is to employ that person as an external contractor, so you don't have all the other issues such as leave days, bonuses, tax implications, etc., etc. Just make sure wherever you are in Africa to comply to the rules of the country, of course. And then cloud has made it possible, right?
Definitely. I mean, with everything that we do, we use technology. So we definitely use cloud services. We also use Skype for communication. Even WhatsApp, if we have to go over to that, there's one or other problem with connectivity in the country. So yes, we use everything that we have in technology-wise that there is out there. And the biggest thing, I think, with everything that we do in our virtual workforce that we have is communication.
Exactly.
Daily communication.
You're so right.
So we check in, the whole team checks in with each other on a daily basis. Yes, we are in different time zones. I mean, Mauritius is way up and running before we get to work.
Yes.
And Ivory Coast is a little bit behind us. But we have that midway that we always have when we communicate and make sure that everybody is firstly all right, that everybody is there, they understand their tasks for the day, and then we go from there.
Yeah, I fully agree with you. Cloud has really made it so much easier. I tweeted about this the other day, last week specifically. I met with three different small business owners who, they were saying to me they don't get this whole digital disruption gig economy yet. And I asked them, do you have a digital presence? Do you have an online presence for your business? And they said, no, but they don't feel it's necessary. And that was my reaction exactly. And for me, as an SME, if you do not have digital presence, good connectivity is not negotiable, right?
Definitely.
Especially when you do the virtual economy,
definitely.
The virtual workforce.
Definitely.
Okay. So this is really where you are good as the program manager for a couple of programs in the business. How do you successfully manage this virtual workforce of yours?
So definitely first thing is communication, as I said. You cannot manage a team virtually without communication, because there's no walking to the office every day, good morning everyone, how's it going?
Yeah.
We don't have that.
Yeah.
So we do that virtually.
Yeah.
You have to have that virtually.
Yeah.
Then on a weekly basis, we try to have a rhythm to make sure that we connect everybody aligned on a call, having a voice call, and then obviously reporting as well, to make sure that everybody is aligned on reporting, what we need for reporting, and to actually produce that, and that we do on a monthly basis.
Yeah.
If needed, if you battle to be in this virtual presence, obviously we help people to get online and to master the virtual world. So if you say, for instance, battle with reporting once a month, then we say, okay, let's do it on a weekly basis. Let's see if you can do this on a weekly basis. Then we go out to 2 weeks, and then we go out every second week, whatever the case may be. So not everybody is built for this world.
That's right.
Not everybody is
comfortable with it.
Because it's an instant world.
Yeah.
Being in a virtual world is not me getting up from my desk, walking over to yours, having a conversation about what we have, or a meeting. This is very much an instant world where there's constant communication. And being in the different time zones, you need to know when to basically switch off.
Yeah, exactly.
Have that break before you go online again.
I fully agree. It's a self-discipline thing.
Definitely.
You are so right, because the virtual world, literally, in our little business, we start virtually, I know my time, I start 5:30 a.m. Because I know in Mauritius it's then already 7:30 a.m. And I know that I'm tempted to stay online till late at night, because there are other countries still catching up to time. Mm-hmm. But you're right, the communication is about most important. So the one thing we've learned, that daily check-in that Zuanda's talking about, it's not a check-up, it's a check-in. So it's, hello everybody, we're out here, we're alive. Because very often, the guys who work virtually start feeling lonely.
Definitely.
And secluded. And not part of a team.
Definitely, because you don't have that physical interaction.
Yeah.
You don't have that physical meeting presence.
Yeah.
Everything happens online. Mm-hmm. You are very much secluded. I think it's also much more difficult working in a virtual team than having a physical team.
Fully agree.
There is a lot of times that body language say quite a lot. So you may have an off day somewhere in one or other part of Africa.
Yeah.
I will not even pick that maybe up because of maybe bad connectivity, just written word. I won't be able to pick that up. So it is really a check-in of how are you? Are the team all right? Is the team morale all right?
Mm.
And what do we have for that day?
Fully agree. What about recruiting? What are your experiences with recruiting people for this virtual world?
A lot. So recruiting is the biggest portion of this virtual process that you go through. Obviously, if you don't recruit right, there's a lot of things that can go wrong.
Mm.
So we have a process, a three-point process. So obviously we will place an advertisement on what we need, normally on LinkedIn. From there we will have a scanning process. From the scanning process we have a first interview, which is also sort of just seeing if you are
cultural fit.
Yes.
Yeah.
Everything that we need.
Yeah.
Then we have a second interview, normally with the direct line manager, and then from there we have a panel interview with assessments that we do, and hopefully by the end of that whole process that we go through, and it's a rigorous process because there's quite a few questions that's straight up on the man, and you need to be able to answer them.
Yeah.
And normally when we go through that process, I think we normally make very informative decisions on who we get into our team, and to see not only if they fit culturally to the Thinkroom environment, but we'll also have a cultural connection with our clients.
Exactly. I fully agree with you. And what's interesting for me is we learned through our bad mistakes on how to do virtual recruiting. So I'm first to admit I don't like traditional ways of recruiting. I used to employ people without even looking at a CV because I go on gut. But in the virtual world, it's too difficult. So, and as Zwanda explained, again, entrepreneurs, if you want to learn from our mistakes so you don't have to make them yourself, when you recruit virtually, you have to have a rigorous process. You can't do a quick selection. It has to be different levels of interviews. With different interviewers. And I also feel like we give them practical exercises to do within a short timeline to also see if they can really execute.
Mm-hmm.
And that has helped us greatly. So if you have to recruit for the virtual world, you may never see the person, as Zwanda said, in your life. There are people who have been with us we've never seen.
Mm-hmm.
If you do that, make sure you run at least two or three different panels so you can get a good view of the person. You spoke briefly about onboarding, but just can you talk to us a little bit more about the importance of onboarding virtual people?
It's very important to make sure that the person, firstly, you have to know what you want.
Yeah.
You have to understand your scope of your project, where you're going with it, what you want the person in country to do.
Mm.
From there, you need to onboard that person. When onboarding that person, you need to be very explicit in not only tasks and deliverables that you want, but if there's any reporting that should be done in a certain manner or on a certain system, obviously you need to get training on that.
Yeah.
So there's quite a lot that you have to, it's a process flow that you have to go through, that you have to think through of how to onboard that person.
Yeah.
When doing that, you need to also take in consideration cultural differences.
Yeah.
Really for the reason that I may be very direct and it may be offensive.
Yeah.
So you need to make sure that the lines of communication is always open. Make sure the person in country knows what you want and what is the project deliverables. It's always a very good idea to start with the scope of the project and to give that through to that person to go through the scope and actually get that person to explain the scope back to you. Then you know they either get this or they don't.
I fully agree with you. And I think one of the things that I've been battling with a lot with the virtual workforce is to get the culture of the business embedded into the virtual workforce employees when they're not in the office. They don't know that there are drinks on a Friday afternoon or just chitter chatter on the couch. So that cultural issue, organizational culture I'm talking.
It's extremely difficult. Mm-hmm. It's extremely difficult to I don't want to say instill, I'm not sure what's the right word, to actually get that over to the in-country people.
Yeah.
Because again, when it may be Friday afternoon here by us, it's only morning in the Ivory Coast. So you always have that thing of being a little bit misaligned by time zones, and then to get the culture of the quality, the values that we stand for, to get that over.
I agree.
So sometimes it is it's advisable, if it's possible, to maybe pick a country somewhere in Africa and get the people together and have one onboarding session, if that is a possibility.
I agree with you. Absolutely.
That's always a very good idea to have, but it's not always possible. So you have to go with what you have.
Of course. It's good what you're raising, Zwanda. And as a business owner, speaking to other business owners watching this session, you are continuously weighing up the cost of spending energy and time and money on a virtual workforce that you know is temporary versus getting the culture right, organizational culture, the same quality as you spoke. So it's always that toss-up. But Zwanda, you make a very good point. There needs to be at least a face-to-face of sorts, if the business can afford it, at least once a year to just get that the collaboration together. Okay, so we were talking about technology and that it's a friend, and that you should leverage it. Online tools such as Skype and OneDrive, etc., etc. Talk to us about the nitty-gritty of making this technology work.
Connectivity.
Exactly.
Definitely always connectivity. So it is a challenge in some of the African and countries that we battle with connectivity. But as it can be your friend, it can also be your enemy.
Mm.
As I've said, you need to have that discipline of when to start communicating, when is your work day start, and when does it end. Obviously, there comes time when there's quite a lot of pressure, normally with month-end reporting, and the team needs to pull together. But yes, it can be a huge tool that you can leverage within your business. You have to have communication. The biggest thing of your virtual team, and I'm saying this again, is communication. So, to make a quick decision, we normally have to be present physically. Within a virtual team, you have that instantly.
Exactly.
You can instantly make decisions on a project and execute. You can actually have change direction in a project, which you can do virtually, where normally when you have a physical team, you have to book a meeting room,
get everybody together, you have to get an agenda.
Correct. So,
I fully agree with you.
Yeah.
So another tip that we use extensively for you as small business owners, that Zwanda has just mentioned, is we have different groups on Skype for different projects. So, and then we have a leadership team group, and we have a working team group. So if there is something to be said that the whole team needs to know, you post it on the working team group. If it's project specific, it's on the project specific group. And then there are the one-on-ones. But as you said, Zwanda, it's immediate. And not everybody is very comfortable with having to respond immediately, but it is fast.
Definitely. for some people, the pace, they get exhausted by the pace. So therefore, again, virtual teams are not for everyone. And sometimes you need to slowly introduce your team members to a virtual environment if they are not used to it. And the first person that comes to mind is André van der Merwe, because he was not used to this.
Yeah.
He was not used to a virtual team. He was not used to it to have important decisions
made
being made and taken in a virtual environment.
Yeah. Exactly.
For him, there should have been a letter stating the course that's going to change. And now today, he's the one that's actually ever so often just putting some humor into our very business-like
groups. 100% right. And you up there, entrepreneurs, will have your André van Amerbus working in your businesses who maybe are not ready in the beginning to embrace this virtual world, but it's incumbent on those in the business who understand it well, who where you use Skype extensively, where OneDrive is the place where everybody goes for file storage, where emails is so outdated because it's much faster than emails, where you have multiple WhatsApp groups going. You may have that André van Amerbus, but it's incumbent on you to get those people onboarded and to embrace the technology. The other thing, Zwana, you were talking about the having fun on the virtual world, in the virtual world, and it's good. It's not always about business, right? We sometimes have to have a joke on the group, joke on the chats, right?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we don't have a water cooler.
Exactly.
We don't have a water cooler to go and fetch water and interact with other people in the company. So yes, you have to have humor. Yeah, within your group, ever so often, obviously not all the time.
Yeah.
But you have to have that to lighten the mood.
Yeah.
You have to, and I think that also brings a team spirit.
Yeah.
Because we don't have real team building exercises or going away for a weekend.
Quite right.
So yes, our humor once a day helps us to keep
Absolutely.
The team. I almost want to say united.
I fully agree, and I concur completely. And then this last thing around giving a lot of feedback. Continuous feedback. What do you feel about that?
Again, I think it's important because of the fast pace that you go through when you have these virtual teams, it's good to have that feedback sessions to know, well, for me, that I'm still on the right track. This is the objective.
Yeah.
Yes, I know the objective has changed, but we are doing this in the right manner. Have we all agreed on the process? Is this the way we're going to submit the document? Whatever the case may be, that feedback and that interaction with each other is imperative.
Yeah.
It's imperative. You can imagine if you work on a document for 6 hours long, by the end of the day when you submit it and something has happened somewhere in one or other virtual world, it's 6 hours that you have lost.
Exactly.
And 6 hours in a small business
is like
a week.
Exactly. Exactly.
Like a week.
6 hours to me is like, exactly, it's like a week. You can't miss the time.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right. The one thing I wanted to elaborate on what you say with feedback sessions, what I do find with the virtual teams, and this could be a tip to you as entrepreneurs, if you have virtual teams and you don't see them face to face, if you give feedback, and I often find that there's maybe not an opportunity for a call, so what am I saying? If you give feedback in a written way, always try and follow it up, at least if it's feedback where they have to grow, or where they have to learn, or whether it's not so pleasant.
Constructive criticism.
If you give feedback in that way and it's written, always try and follow it up, at least with a conversation.
Definitely.
You feel the same?
Definitely.
It just breaks down the potential misunderstanding in the written word.
Definitely.
Yeah. Because virtual world creates that.
Yes. Mm. Because that's going to be a barrier.
Exactly.
The written word is going to be the first barrier that comes up. So you have to break down that barrier again with the spoken word. So you have to have that because that's your personal touch in a virtual world.
Exactly.
Is the spoken word, so you have to do that afterwards.
Exactly. I fully agree with you. Yeah. Let's get into the closing thoughts. So in terms of this virtual world, what can you, with virtual workforce, which you managed really well as a compliment, but what are the closing thoughts you want to share with us?
The hiring process, extremely, extremely important.
Mm.
You have to go through that rigorous process. Look, the process that we do in South Africa is totally different from the virtual one that we do, purely for the reason that we have a face-to-face conversation normally with the person in South Africa.
That's
you
right.
don't have that virtually.
Yeah.
So you have to go through that process. Although you may think in the beginning, you know what, we at stage three, I think I know this person, go through the whole process. The panelists that you have in each section will have a different opinion.
I fully agree.
Then communication. I cannot stress this enough. Communication, like in a small business, cash is king.
Yeah.
In a virtual team,
absolutely,
communication is king.
I fully
you
agree.
Have to have that communication daily, weekly, and monthly.
Yeah. Fully,
you
fully
have
agree.
To be aligned, I almost want to say 24/7, 365 days a year. There's not a, especially if you're a small business, you cannot be in that virtual world and not be aligned because time is of the essence.
That's 100% correct. I fully agree. And then this thing, we didn't touch on it, but it's a big issue for me in terms of the virtual workforce, is this thing of trust. So now I speak as a business owner, and you as small business owners watching this video at the moment, you put a lot of trust in a worker or an employee if you tell them to work virtually, because you trust that they will be doing the work that they are supposed to do.
Yes.
How do you get to trust?
How do I know that they're doing what they're supposed to do? It is difficult. It is difficult. I, from a personal perspective, I am somebody who will trust someone completely until you show me the opposite.
Yeah.
But to manage this in a virtual world, I do this by deliverables.
Yes.
So you have certain deliverables that you have to do within a week or a certain time frame, and obviously it's not unreasonable. So if the deliverables and the quality of work does not add up to what is expected, obviously you go through a process of training and skills transfer, but if there is still certain problems, then yes, there are certain trust issues that will then come up.
And then you address it, as we said, the good and the bad and the ugly. And then lastly, I think for me, is just this thing of your bandwidth and your equipment need to work.
Definitely. I am a very strong believer in you cannot expect something from someone if you do not give them the right tools.
That's right. 100%.
If you do not provide a person with the right tools to deliver what you want to deliver, you cannot expect them to part the sea or paint the sky pink, if that is your
fully
requirement.
Yeah.
But then it's not going to happen.
I fully agree with you. Zuanda, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you in the studio. Absolutely. Make sure not to miss our other episode on this topic around how to get the virtual collaboration between the team members in a better way. And don't miss the recording on the gig economy that also explains from the other side of this table, those who are in this virtual world providing services, how they should go about it. There's some resources that you can go and check out. The Harvard Business Review has a lot of work written on the world of virtual teams, and how their basic needs are important to make business work. And then the last one, there's also from tech.co, trends small businesses need to know, and the virtual gig economy is one big part of it. So in closing, and thank you very much for tuning in. Thanks for coming, Zuanda. In closing, you have to have good internet connectivity for all those who are working wherever in the world for you. The communication lines need to be open all the time. Unfortunately, it is a fast-paced 24/7, unfortunately. And as Zuanda said, you've got to make the rules. When in the 24 hours are you available? And lastly, trust. When you work in a virtual environment, the trust is key from both the employer and the gig workers or the employees. Until next time, it was lovely to have you in studio. Bye-bye.